and welcome to Book Talk. I'm Joshua, and today on the podcast, I'm talking to Abby Elphinstone, author of The Dream Snatcher. Hi, Abby. How are you?
Hey, Joshua. I'm really good. How are you?
I'm brilliant. Thanks for asking. So, firstly, can we start by just you explaining a bit about what your book is about?
Sure. So, it's my first book, and it came out in February. It's called The Dream Snatcher, and it's about a 12-year-old Romany gypsy girl called Moll, and she's always felt like an outsider in her camp in the forest. She's got green eyes, everyone else has got dark eyes, and she's the only one that doesn't have any family, and she's got very few friends. And she's told by Oak, who's like the head of the camp, you can go anywhere in this forest, but you mustn't cross the river boundary. And then in the first chapter, she crosses the river boundary, and she discovers a sinister witch doctor called the Dream Snatcher, who's like already sort of stolen her dreams and sort of turned them into nightmares. And now he's going after her life, and she's got to fight back with a wild cat and a friend called Siddy, and then a runaway from the enemy gang called Alfie. So you're not really sure if he's good or bad.
Yeah.
So that's in a nutshell. It's like Romany gypsies, wild cats, witch doctors, bit of magic, bit of sort of old Romany folklore, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's such a unique book. And I when I was reading it, I found that it had such a different storyline from the sort of stuff I generally read.
Oh, really? Oh, that's nice.
What inspired you to write such a different book?
A lot of people say, you know, do you have Romany roots, or like why did you write about Romany gypsies? Because there's a lot of, well, there aren't many books out there about them. There's The Didacoy by Rummer Godden, which was amazing, but I think that's published like 20 years ago or something. A lot of people said to me, don't write about Romany gypsies because you're not one, and you might get a lot of backlash against from Romany cultures saying you've got it all wrong. But because I think I'm doing a bit of magic with it, I'm not saying it's absolutely authentic. I'm sort of drawing on a Romany culture, but sort of doing a modern sort of twist on it. But I think the reason I wrote about travelling children and kids that don't live in houses is because I grew up in Scotland in the middle of nowhere, and I spent nearly all of my time outside. I don't really have any memories of being inside. I sometimes slept in like a treehouse in the summer months in the garden.
That's so cool.
So I just wanted to write about kids, yeah, that didn't really live in houses and lived in wagons in the woods.
When you sent me a copy of this book, thank you so much for doing that as well.
That's all right.
You told me you signed it with, is it Cushy Book or Cushy Bok?
Yeah, Cushy Bok, yeah.
Yeah, and you said that was Romany for goodbye and good luck.
Exactly, yeah.
And you explained to me a bit about the fact that it was Romany gypsies, and you've kind of covered that already in the interview, but why did you choose that group of people for the characters?
I think I'm kind of fascinated by people that don't live in houses or don't have a sort of traditional sort of upbringing or childhood. And I think partly because, yeah, I was sort of all over the place on the moors and out in woods when I was younger, but also because when I was a child, I used to build dens and tree houses. And when I built that world away from a house and the indoors and walls and doors, it felt like I was sort of entering a new world where adults didn't belong and where I could be brave and discover things. And I think that was sort of why I wanted to write about the Romany culture, because it would lend itself to that. They'd be outside without the influences of sort of, you know, schools and buildings and that kind of thing. And I think my next book, I'm hoping to write about Inuits, is sort of an Arctic adventure. And I'm going to go up and live in the Arctic with some Inuits and an igloo next year. So I think it's a theme like that I'm really interested in. Yeah, people with different childhoods.
Yeah. Do you think some of that sort of stemmed from your childhood? Because you said sort of about that you don't remember much about being sort of inside.
Mm.
Do you reckon there was some sort of link, or is that just like coincidental?
Yeah, to me writing about sort of characters that are outside.
Yeah,
I think so. I mean, a lot of people say, you know, write what you know. And I agree with that to an extent. But I also think, you know, write what you want to know, write what you want to discover. And that's also really exciting. So part of it is me drawing on my own upbringing and being outside loads. And part of it is sort of being intrigued by this Romany culture that believe in the spirits and, you know, have incredible ideas for herbal cures in the forest. And, you know, they have cool superstitions like don't wash a blanket in May because it means you're washing away your family. And I think that sort of magic combined with a travelling culture was quite exciting for sort of a story. And I think the colours of the Romany gypsy culture, both in what they wear, but also in their beliefs and their foods. And, you know, it's quite cool for kids and quite exciting.
Can we talk a moment for about Griff? Is it Gruff?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Gruff's...
A lot of people say Gruff.
Gruff's a wildcat.
Yeah.
And that's for anyone that's listening, or you haven't read, or you're currently reading the book. And Gruff's is... I consider Gruff to be Mole's sidekick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where did you get the idea for Gruff?
When I first wrote the book, weirdly, I had Mole's sidekick as this cute little tawny owl called Cobweb. And he could do this, like, little sort of bum shuffle, backwards moonwalk thing and swivel his head round. And I love owls, and I thought he was really cute. But when I started writing the character of the Dream Snatcher, his magic got darker and darker as I started to write. And I thought an owl just wasn't going to stand up, and, you know, he'd bat it away. So I wanted to go for a creature that was really, really wild and ferocious. And I started doing a bit of research on wildcats, and I'd seen one. They're very, very rare. There's only 35 left in the UK, but I saw one when I was with my dad in Scotland on the moors. And I think seeing that blink in the darkness, I just saw the wildcat's green eyes blink. It just sort of, you know, stuck a memory like that. And I thought years later, ooh, if I want a wilder animal, something that's, you know, really, really wild and sort of unique to Scotland, and Northumberland, I think, is the Scottish wildcat. So that sort of, yeah, the cobweb owl morphed into a wildcat.
That's kind of an interesting origin for Gruff, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think, like, I mean, I adored Philip Pullman's Northern Lights. And I think at some stages, Pantalaimon, Lyra's demon, is a wildcat before finally settling to I think it's a pine marten. But yeah, I love the idea of sort of wild animals. I'm not that big a fan of, like, tame animals sometimes. I don't know, I don't have any pets. My dad has dogs and I love them, but I'm really fascinated by animals that you can't actually have as a kind of cutesy pet, that are more in the wild, and then they offer some sort of, I don't know, different view of the world, and they sort of are sometimes wiser than you.
You mentioned there Philip Pullman's book.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, I just want to quickly ask your opinion on this, because I was at Summer in the City at the weekend.
Ooh.
And there was a BookTube panel there.
Yeah.
And I think it was, I don't know whether it was, I think it was George from George Lester Reads.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he mentioned that he went and read the book, and he went and saw the movie when it was adapted.
Yeah.
And he said that was one of the worst adaptations he's ever seen.
It was. It was so strange. They had a stellar cast. They had, like, this awesome girl for Lyra, and they had Daniel Craig as Lord Asriel and Nicole Kidman for Mrs. Coulter. They didn't get the heart of the book at all. They didn't get Pullman's magic. I mean, I don't know if anyone can. Maybe it's one of those books that will, you know, never make it as a film. It's too good as a book. But they didn't do it justice at all, and it bombed, and they didn't do a sequel.
Do you think your book would ever be adapted?
Oh, interesting question. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I had a meeting with a film agent who said she's really interested about putting it forward as both a film and a sort of TV adaption. I think she thought the sort of, I think, again, the Romany culture was exciting for children, the colours and the pace of the book and the feisty female heroine. She liked that sort of angle. And I think because there's two more books in the Dream Snatcher series coming, that they each have a different setting. And I think she sort of was quite excited about that and how the film could progress.
But exciting maybe... stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
How much research did you do, if any, to write the Dream Snatcher?
I did loads, actually. I think that's one of the most exciting bits, doing the research. One of my sort of favourite bits was meeting Pete Ingram, who's one of the last real Romany gypsies, and he grew up in a wagon that he had bought for, I think he and his parents bought it for £15, and he used to paint, you know, the designs on beautiful Romany wagons, and he painted the wagon for Roald Dahl for Danny the Champion of the World, that film where the father and the son sleep in the wagon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I spent a lot of time with him, like, carving wooden flowers and carving catapults out of ash and hazel and clothes pegs from hawthorn. And he really sort of opened my eyes to it all. And he taught me the Kushti Bok expression. And I just wanted to make sure that, because I'm not a Romany, that I didn't sort of come in and